As an added benefit to reoccurring donors, we are sending out DCO face masks to any monthly contributors for 3 months or more at the $5 plus level. Please send your size preference, either large or youth or small size, along with membership email and mailing address to info@dcontario.org. And you can check out what they look like in the show notes.
This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
This is Caitlin Plant, Program Manager for Distress and Crisis Ontario, and this week I am joined by Lorna Anderson, a psychotherapist who's had the honor of working with folks who have a variety of cultural backgrounds and preferences. This week, Lorna is very kindly sitting down with me to talk about cultural intelligence. So Lorna, for anyone who may not know what we mean when we say the words cultural intelligence, could you please explain what it is?
For sure, Caitlin. So when I'm considering cultural intelligence, it's really the ability of a person to be able to effectively interact, to work, and also to develop meaningful relationships with people of various cultural backgrounds. And then sort of the other piece of that is really to ensure that all individuals and groups feel heard, included, and that each individual takes actionable steps to correct any sort of personal, and then also on a systemic level, any biases that may exist or assumptions that may exist that creates the environment where cultural intelligence does not exist. So yeah, it's important, I think, to define culture when we're talking about cultural identity. So when we're thinking about culture, culture often refers more to race than ethnicity, but it also encompasses gender identity, sexual identity, socioeconomic status, cultural preferences, spiritual and religious preferences, lifestyle choices, ability, political preferences, you know, citizenship status, etc. And these are also referred to as psychosocial locations. And when we're thinking about psychosocial locations, it's also important to think about intersectionality of those psychosocial locations. So the interconnected nature of somebody's psychosocial locations and how when they're overlapping and interdependent on each other, it can create overlapping and interdependent systems of disadvantage and discrimination.
So it's really just all of those little things that come together to make the person who they are and kind of encompasses everything that they celebrate and all the things that kind of matter most in our lives.
Exactly.
So why is having cultural intelligence something that should be important to everyone?
Sure. So there's a number of reasons. I think probably the most important is that it prevents us from causing harm to others. So it decreases incidences of marginalization, oppression, discrimination, racism, genocide, bullying, just any sort of type of exclusion and or sort of division. So I think that's probably the most important piece, is that it really supports us in not harming other people. Additionally, it can expand our worldview in terms of using multiple perspectives versus having this one sort of dominant lens, the sort of, you know, dominant worldview of sort of colonization that gets challenged then, right? It's like, oh, like maybe this isn't the ultimate truth. It increases our ability to respond to things creatively. So again, not thinking there's just one way of looking at this, you know, there's multiple perspectives to consider. Yeah, I think those are important reasons why cultural intelligence is important for us to be mindful of.
I honestly had never thought of it before from the creativity aspect. So I like that you included that in there. Yeah, it kind of just opens up your world to all these other possibilities.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you definitely touched on some of them there, but are there any other major benefits of gaining cultural intelligence?
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier today, and it was, I think, just sort of like an increase in inclusivity. And that, in my mind, can result in a lot of sort of personal but also collective healing, you know, I think within ourselves, within our communities, and within the world at large. I think an unification or recognizing the value of these diverse experiences and valuing cultural preferences and cultural norms equally, even if they're different from your own, there's, I think, an opportunity for a collective wisdom in that. Yeah, you think differently about this or you approach this differently, and that's fantastic because that teaches me something. And then also, really just, I think, personal like expansiveness and growth, like internally, like leaning into your own sort of personal biases and preferences, and recognizing, like, again, this isn't the end all and be all, and there's opportunity there, I think, for a lot of sort of personal development and expanding ourselves as individuals into more open-minded, more collectively sort of focused individuals.
Yeah, I like what you said there, that yes, you have a different perspective than me, and that makes us stronger. Like it, yeah, it means that we can cover more ground and include more people, and there's nothing that makes us weaker by having more experiences shared.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what is the best way to ensure that our approach to learning is respectful of the culture that we're trying to learn about?
Yeah, I love this question. I think it's really important to listen. And that's the place where I think we all need to start. So listening to the stories and hearing the experiences of others with inclusion of their sort of, their potentially multiple social locations and what that experience is for them. Also sort of being very self-aware. So I've already mentioned sort of our own personal biases and assumptions, but being self-aware regarding those things and regarding our cultural preferences and norms. And again, acknowledging, you know, I'm coming into this like open-minded. I'm not going to come into this and try to impose my values and my norms onto this other individual, which again results in potentially in harming another person. I think also, no matter how many books we might read, if someone's cultural preference or cultural norm or the culture that they come from is different from ours, no matter how many books we read or papers we might read or experiences we might have in interacting within that culture, recognizing that the individuals within that culture, they are the experts. They are the experts. They have lived experience and they have much to teach us. And I think that that is super duper important in building relationship with individuals who have different cultural preferences and norms. It's also really essential to not pretend that we know everything about a cultural preference or norm or culture that's different from our own. And I think sometimes when folks feel like they should know more or are concerned that they don't know enough, that can sometimes happen. That sort of, oh yeah, I'm just going to act like I get this all. And I think that can be really, really harmful. So being open to asking questions, being open to engaging, being open to wondering and being curious, I think those are really important ways to sort of be respectful when engaging with and learning about different cultures and cultural preferences. And then I think these are all important, but I think one of the most important is, again, recognizing that sort of dominant lens worldwide of the colonizer, and recognizing that that is very pervasive in most, if not all, societies, and that is recognizing that as a singular point of view, and it's not the absolute truth, even though I think sometimes it pretends to be, or people assume that it is, right? Mm-hmm. So acknowledging that as you learn, that there are a multiplicity of angles to sort of angles and perspectives from which to see the world through.
Yeah, and I think, like you said as well, in acknowledging that we don't know everything about any one culture, we need to acknowledge that we don't know everything about our own either.
Yeah.
Because every individual brings their own perspective. So even if you're coming from a place of looking at your own culture, people in your family probably even have a very different awareness of it from what you do.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to learn about new cultures too, kind of understanding that talking to one person also isn't going to be enough, because yeah, Everybody's going to bring a different perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that actually, Caitlin, because you're right. I think for every individual, there's going to be a different experience of culture or different list of cultural preferences and norms. And I think that is a really essential thing. We can't just make assumptions based on, like you said, a conversation with one person from one particular culture or one person who's got certain cultural preferences, right? I think that, yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in what you said there.
So what are some of the challenges that people might face on their journey to learn more about new cultures?
So I think one thing is that sort of like bumping up against our personal biases, right? Because that can really, I think, freak people out. And I think it can make people really uncomfortable. So I think being able to be in your own discomfort is a really, you know, valuable thing when we're being introduced and learning about new cultures. I think also if the culture that you may represent, and again, like you said, everyone is an individual and everyone's experience of their culture is going to be different. But if you sort of represent the culture, a culture that has hurt potentially maybe the culture that you're trying to learn more about, there can be a lot of issues and questions around, can I trust this person? Like, what is this? Why is this person asking so many questions? Is this person going to harm me in some way? And so I think that can also be important to keep in mind when learning about new cultures or interacting with folks from cultures different than your own. And again, it's just a matter of respect being authentic about it and saying, this is why, you know, this is why I want to learn. This is why I'm asking questions. This is why I would like to hear your story and listen to your experience. So yeah, I think those are challenges, but I think ultimately they can turn into sort of positive things as well.
Yeah, I think coming from personal experience, a podcast that we put out a couple of weeks ago on Islamophobia,
yeah,
I kind of had some of that of my own, of kind of bumping up against discomfort that I'd never experienced before in this conversation that we're having, and just being able to, yeah, acknowledge the fact that I can't speak to sharing those experiences because I never have, and yeah, just seeing how much I learned from them in that conversation and yeah, being and acknowledging the privilege that I had to, yeah, say I genuinely have never experienced that before, and yeah, it's unacceptable that you have,
yeah,
basically, and yeah, so I understand what you mean by that being one of the challenges, but I think as long as, yeah, we're always able to make sure that we don't put that on them, right? Yeah. It's not their job to make us feel better. We are allowed to acknowledge, yeah, I don't relate to that, and then make sure that we emphasize how not okay that is, and that's why we're trying to learn and why we're trying to better support them.
Yeah, I think like you hit the nail on the head just in terms of like the concept of walking alongside people, right? And as a psychotherapist, I feel like that's what I do all the time. It's like I'm walking alongside you and I'm honoring your journey, but I'm also not going to pretend that if I don't have that shared experience or I don't, you know, come from that same place, I'm not going to pretend that I, you know, that I get it. Mm-hmm. I will wholeheartedly listen. I will wholeheartedly, as you said, acknowledge my privilege or in the situation or that I have not shared that experience. But, and also I think, yeah, it's important at that stage to also, you know, I honor the fact that someone is sharing their story. I honor that somebody is making me feel uncomfortable or, you know, allowing me to sort of ask myself like, wow, these are things that I wasn't aware of, or these are things that I haven't experienced because of the privilege that I come from, right? Or because of my cultural experience or what's sort of considered normal in the culture I live in, again, within the individual variations of that, right? But yeah, it's, you know, in the introduction, I have worked with a lot of folks from a variety of different cultural backgrounds. And I grew up in a white middle-class household and I had a whole lot of privilege, and it's humbling. And I have been uncomfortable a lot of times when I think about, wow, like I had no idea. And as you said, it's never anyone else's job to make the listener feel better or make the sort of person that's hearing their story feel better or feel okay about it. That discomfort, I think, is what encourages us to make actionable change and to say, no, marginalization is not okay. No, oppression is not okay. Racism is not okay. Genocide is not okay. And, you know, we need to collectively sort of recognize that and come together and start making some actionable change.
So do you have any resources that you can suggest for people who are trying to build their cultural intelligence?
Yeah, so I'm a big lover of books. And yeah, I've got a few sort of titles, Caitlin, that I can list off. Also, there's plenty of great podcasts out there as well on a variety of different cultural experiences. So yeah, some of the books that I've got here would be White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, My Grandmother's Hands by Rizma Menakem, Mindful of Race, Transforming Racism from the Inside Out. And this book is by Ruth King. Read, Listen, Tell, which is Indigenous Stories from Turtle Island. I'll have to get back to you on the author. For some reason, I didn't copy that down today. Suffer the Little Children, Genocide, Indigenous Nations in the Canadian State by Tamara Starblanket. Stand By Me, The Forgotten History of Gay Liberation by Jim Downs. And Sister Outsider by Audre Lorde, which is about gender, sex, and identity. So those are a few resources. I was also thinking about, really helpful, I think, to look at some resources around, you know, religious and spiritual preferences, to look around things like, you know, mental illness and the marginalization of folks who have experienced mental illness, folks that experience homelessness, folks that experience addiction, all of those types of individuals as well, and sort of their experiences. I think learning and hearing about stories from those individuals is also invaluable in terms of creating this idea of cultural intelligence.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you. So is there anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't already covered today?
I don't think so. I think really just probably want to reinforce that, yeah, without cultural intelligence, we really do perpetuate attitudes and systems that result in really harmful actions. So discrimination, racism, marginalization, exclusion, and really allow for individuals and groups to be traumatized. And it's very, very essential, I think, to note that and to recognize that it's only going to make you a better person to explore this idea of cultural intelligence. It's only going to expand your universe and expand your mind and your heart and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me today. We really appreciate having your perspective on this.
Thanks a lot, Caitlin. I enjoyed it.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. We are committed to providing the most current and up-to-date information. With your help, we can make it better. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress-and-crisis-ontario.com or by clicking the link in the show notes. And by donating, monthly contributors will be able to access a special podcast feed. In it, we'll have additional content and some more in-depth pieces on some of our most popular topics. Thank you.